Hi, everybody. You're listening to... Oh, well, I'm Carolyn Lovewell.
And I'm Layla Matthews.
And you are listening to the Sleepover Podcast. And we are here today with our wonderful respective husbands, my husband David and Layla's husband Rory.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yes, happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Witch's Sabbath.
It's a big holiday. Here at the Lovewell house, we've been going hard, celebrating Halloween all month, pretty much.
You guys have some Halloween decorations that you keep up all year.
Yeah, I always have to fight with David about what is, in fact, I buy things in the Halloween decor section of the store, and then I put them up for Halloween, and then David is like, this is forever interior decorating. This is year-round, including a vampire sign with, like, dripping fangs that says, live forever, love forever.
Yeah, that's just normal goth, immortal goth home decor.
Of course.
Yes. And, yeah, so it's, the veil is thinning. The here in the northern hemisphere, the leaves are coming off the trees. Things are getting down to their bare essence.
Yes, their bare essence. And it's very beautiful. Austere and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us into what we want to talk about today.
Yes.
Which is what the scariest thing possible, truly frightening. How would you describe what this thing is, Rory?
Oh, just the terrifying humiliation of being honest with yourself and others.
What could be more bone-chilling?
I know I find it to be terrifying.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is the frequency, like the sensation of fear that one avoids by not being honest. Like, that is the embodied somatic sensation that most people are trying to not experience by not being honest.
So yeah. True. And there's a kind of death that happens with honesty. There's, mm-hmm. like, a death of the false conditioned self. Like, especially when one is, like, talking about being really honest about one's... you know, true desires, true purpose and direction. It's like really vulnerable, really sensational. It's like hard to even be honest with oneself about that because it involves letting die all of these notions about who we should be, what we should be doing, what other people think we should be doing, what's, you know, what's the right thing to do. And it's so interesting, like, I think a lot about the ways that, like, our actual will, like, what the being that we are actually wishes to do, is usually very different from what our conscious mind's preferences are.
Oh my gosh, this is reminding me of a hilarious story. When I was young, I was very, like, lost in, like, purposelessness and was trying to, like, like, I would have given anything to have somebody tell me, like, what is my purpose? And I was, like, living in a yurt, trying to be so awesome, trying to save the world, thinking, like, that was my purpose. And there was this young man named Nicholas who had just come back from India. And he was telling us about, like, oh, when I was in India, I met this guru who told me my purpose. And I was like... there's a person? You can just go to a person who will tell you your purpose? And he was like, yeah. I was like, what did he say, Nicholas? What did he tell you? What is your purpose? And he was like, well, my purpose is to love and be love for others. And I was like, what the fuck, Nicholas? That is so dumb. I can't believe you believed that stupid guru. That's probably what he tells everyone. That is not a purpose. Huh? That is so disappointing. I can't believe you were duped by this guru person. And I I recognize now that this was evidence of my own spiritual malady. But it reminded me of this because, like our purpose is often kind of cheesy and embarrassing when we say it out loud. Like, it is a little bit humiliating to just be like, yeah, my purpose is, like, to be really loving and make the world a better place. You know, like,
Yep, it is. It's a little bit queasy always. Yeah, it reminds me of like Dr. Robert and Dr. Luzette. Like their stated mission is to heal and be healed, you know.
Dr. Robert is heal and be healed, and Luzette is love and be loved.
Yeah.
Dorky.
Dr. Robert says that everybody has the exact same purpose, which is to establish heaven on earth. And that sort of is the ultimate alchemical marriage. And it's just what that looks like is different, because here in earth we're separate, and like our unique connection to heaven, bringing that down to earth, is very different for each person. But right, it's like this, the purpose is the same for everybody in that regard. It's very unified.
Yeah, it's just like the way in which we're going to bring heaven to earth is different for everybody. Maybe that's what you were more looking for, Layla. You were like, yeah, but how exactly? Like, what art form? What job?
Tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me what to do. Exactly. Yeah, oh, I couldn't. That was just such a... That was a very strong moment of like, that's what they say to everyone. I know that already, but it's not helping.
Useless.
Useless sage wisdom.
Well, you know, something that I think is interesting is the way that once one does really tune in to their purpose and their deep drive, there does seem to be retrospectively a way that life was always preparing you and training you for exactly your role in the Bring Heaven to Earth mission. It's just like we don't always know that that's what's happening when it's happening, right?
Indeed.
And usually, like, those things can, like, I feel like some of the things that gave me the deepest training in how to be who I'm obviously meant to be and do what I'm obviously meant to do were, like, you know, the most painful, embarrassing fuck-ups of my life that at the time that they were happening, I was, like, desperate for them not to be happening. I was like, I might just do away with myself over this. You know, like that kind of, oh my God, this is so decimating my ideas of like who I think I am and what I should be doing. But actually, it's like a calcination that is preparing me. And what's interesting, so of all of the podcast episodes on our little podcast history, one of the most listened to is one about calcination. Calcination is a big Scorpio season theme when, like, everything burns away, the negredo phase in alchemy, where it's just, like, death is taking away. And Catherine McCune calls it, you know, it's, like, false roots are burnt away in calcination.
Yeah, I think that in many regards, the pain of calcination could be avoided if we weren't doing and subscribing to those false roots in the first place. It's like the higher self's way of like smacking us back on course. But if we don't stray in the first place, then that initial calcination is not necessarily necessary.
Yeah, but usually what gets burned away is stuff like, maybe the Taoists would call it like the acquired mind, like things that's like social conditioning. Like, I'm just thinking of like when one of the biggest calcinations I went through was I tried to get married to this one boyfriend I had, and as in we had a giant wedding, and it was very elaborate.
I tried really hard,
and I ended up running away the night of the wedding. I ran away because, you know,
like,
he
left him at the altar.
I went through with the ceremony robotically. I had not slept for 2 weeks before the ceremony. Literally, I was in like a dissociative psychotic fugue state. It was the most horrible experience of my life. I had been laying awake at night for 2 weeks trying to decide whether or not to call off the wedding. Because I'd been so in love with this man, but he had been revealing himself under the stress of the wedding preparations to be paranoid schizophrenic, which I had not realized when I fell in love with him and decided to get married, but he had been hiding it. But it came out, and he was like on these like bizarre anti-Semitic rants and like basically unresponsive to me, like not like he would only talk to me in this like weird robotic way. The man had like an Aquarius stellium that was like super intense. It was like he had the most he's basically a space alien that I tried to marry. Anyways.
Kind of your type, but like maybe too much.
Too much. Too much Aquarius. Too much. And yes, yeah, so I couldn't, we had been so in love, it had been so sweet that I couldn't make up my mind to just call it off. So instead I was just like completely sleepless, utterly insane, lost all of my faculties and power of decision. Anyways, I just ran away the night of the thing. And then I was suicidally depressed and ashamed of myself because all of my family and friends and colleagues and everybody had just seen me go through a giant, beautiful, Pinterest-perfect wedding that I then promptly ran away from and had to return the wedding gifts and let everybody know what an insane fuck-up I was. And this was like... And of course, the reason why I wanted this wedding, I rushed into it in addition to having this like, you know, kind of idyllic, deluded, falling in love experience, was I was very much felt that it was my duty as a 27-year-old woman to get married, have a perfect giant wedding, prove to everybody what an upstanding member of society I am and how into commitment and traditional values. I mean, this is the particular insanity of a Capricorn sun, Cancer moon person, maybe. And it was very interesting, and I felt great relief when I had talked to the astrologer, Adam Ellenboss, who was very, very good. Highly recommend Adam Ellenboss, Hellenistic astrologer. Because I had talked to all these therapists when I was in this suicidal state after this failed attempt to get married, and they all, anyways, they were useless. But the astrologer, Adam Ellenboss, told me, he was like, look, your Saturn return in the seventh house in Scorpio started the same day of this wedding. Mm. And a Saturn return in Scorpio in the seventh house usually means a divorce or a breakup. Mm. And it just so happens that yours was the first day of the same day as your wedding. And I felt cosmically absolved. I was like, you know what? This train wreck was coming for me. Anyways.
Well, what I like about this story in relationship to like purpose and like knowing your truth is that like you were up for 2 weeks knowing full well that something was wrong. Oh, yeah. Like, it's not as though it just, like, blindsided That's you true. And, like, you were, like, so excited. And then after the wedding, you had some kind of psychotic break where, like, oh, my God, everything that I ever wanted, I don't want anymore. Like, clearly, you were like, oh, no.
Well, it was social paralysis. Right. Because my family was already flying in, and I couldn't pull the trigger on telling them to call off, you know, like somehow them having bought plane tickets was like more important than my integrity. It was very, but that's exactly what the nonsense was. And like my sanity and integrity was less important than my relatives' plane tickets having been purchased. Just nutty town, nuts, nuts. And like that needed to be burnt away. And it was burnt away. And since that happened, I have never, ever been able to give a fuck at quite the same level that I used to give a fuck about other people and their expectations of me. And, you know, and basically like everything good about my career came after that. Like came, I mean, there were, I don't know, there were good things before that too. But like, it was so horrible while it was happening, and it was like a new level of having to be honest with myself about who I was and where I was at and what I was really ready for and what I could handle, and learning to stop being attached to those false conditioned roots of trying to, basically, you know, like Jung would say, it was like a major individuation moment because I had been trying to inhabit this collective idea of what a successful 27-year-old woman looks like, and I could not inhabit it. It was not actually true for me at all. And, you know, the universe sort of like spit me back out into this hellfire of needing to discern what was actually true about me. And it was through that experience that I ended up taking bodhisattva vows, because I was like, wow, I am fucking miserable and insane. And if I'm this miserable and insane, I can only, there have to be at least a million other people on earth right now who feel at least bare minimum who are like as fucking crazy and miserable and insane as I am. And what can I do to be, what about those people?
What about
those people? If I do away with myself, you know, it's like, that's not going to help them. No. Let's try to devote our, so I decided to, you know, helping people come free, helping liberate all beings from suffering. And it, anyways, it gave me the strength to do all the neat stuff that has since come from my life. And that's what I think about whenever I think about calcination and Scorpio season.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in that way, like, purpose is heaven on earth when you're aligned with it. And the further you get from it, the more pain there is, whether we admit it to ourselves or not. And in Taoism, they talk about, like, the purpose is like a biological thing that's, like, encoded into you before you're born. And that if you stray far enough off from the path, they say heaven casts you off like a straw dog, which are these sort of like sacrificial little idols they make, and then they just burn them. And so it's like you went far enough off of the contracted mission that you signed up for, you need to just cease to exist. And I feel like we feel that pain in various regards as we get further or closer to what our purpose is. And like you were saying, I think there is, in the Jungian sense, like, there's no coming to consciousness without pain. We all have certain awakening experiences of pain that are really necessary for us to become who we need to be. They're like parts of the quest that can't be avoided. They're actually probably part of the mission in the larger sense. But there is, I mean, you see some people who are like aligned with their purpose from a very young age, and they're just like fucking flying and crushing it, and seem to, like, people are like, oh, why this, fuck this person, why don't, is everything always so good for them? It's like, cause they're aligned with their purpose. And I guess as karma, the way that that shows up for all of us, and when it, you know, dawns on us how to do such a thing of seeing it, finding it, attempting to stay in alignment with it. But yeah, I think eventually we can cease to have calcination phases in a really major dark night of the soul eventually. But if we continually miss the mark of our purpose, that's essentially like addiction. I think you said like the scariness of telling the truth. I think the polar opposite of telling the truth is addiction. Like, addiction is the lie. And, you know, it doesn't feel good. So telling the truth, as scary as it is this really like coming home to heaven and the truth of everything that is good. But we're so scared of that for some reason.
Well, I'm curious, David, was there ever a time in your life when you felt like you were off of your purpose and there was like a calcinating event that brought you back into focus?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much just continuously for my whole life. But I think that I no longer see purpose as a static, unchanging thing. It's like a trail that I'm attempting to follow. And if I like get distracted and it's like, oh, I lost the trail, but it's not necessarily a straight line that's always gonna be, you know, in that direction forever. So I think that I've been aligned with it, and then like the seasons change and I'm actually supposed to be doing something different. And I've gotten better at that. And I think it has over time distilled into something that seems more lasting and like a straight line. But it hasn't always been that. And yeah, most of my life has been like this obsession with finding it and thinking I had it and realizing I was wrong. And, you know, not despairing enough to give up and endeavoring to search again and getting it wrong again, and then continue, and just like doing that over and over and over again has refined my understanding of what that journey looks like.
Well, I really relate to that. I was just thinking in relationship to this, like, first of all, when you were saying that, the thing about the straw dog, it was reminding me that back when I was in a lot of pain, feeling very purposeless, I feel like a dog stuck in a cage licking my skin off. Like, I have all this energy that's supposed to be being used for something, but I don't know what that thing is. And so I'm just like self-harmingly like using it to attack myself. And so it just was interesting because I really like felt myself as like a frantic dog at that time. But like reflecting on all of this, and I have Chiron conjunct my sun. So I feel like I really get that like the wound and the trouble and the pain is like the thing that like you are to do. And I can feel how like in like the work that I do with people now, I've like changed my life so many times. Like I have like thought that I was on the trail, like just like you were saying, and been like, okay, well, that's not it. So now this hurts like so bad. I need to do something different. And I think a lot of people like don't. They just like keep going in the direction that they said they were gonna go and are unwilling to change. But like I felt the pain and been like, I gotta go, and then like pivoted and done something completely different and ran that trail of purpose until, ouch, it's like not right anymore. And then, ooh, moved. And I can see how like I know that it's possible to just change and like pivot and do something different. And I think like part of the story of my own life has been to like know the pain of that and then like summon the willpower to be insane and change your life and like do the impossible and like see it get way better and know that you can do that. Like every person can do that and can get back on the path of like feeling good and feeling in alignment, even if it has gotten really bad.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like something to do with that is connected to like learning to pay more attention at like a bodily somatic level to what lights one up, and less attention to like ideas in the mind about what the thing should be. Because it's like when you're following that like spark of wow, this is like really fun, whoa, this is really, you know, exciting me, this is turning me on, there's a way in which you know, one gets led into all sorts of situations that like might not be exactly it, might not be like the master work, but like are elements of it. And I'm just thinking of, you know, I was involved in the orgasmic meditation movement, and it was funny because it was a really fun cult. And at the time, I mean, it was fun for me. It was very not fun for some people, but, they had a thing there where, like, they would tell you that your purpose was to be an agent of orgasm and to, like, make money for one taste, basically. Like, they would be like, yes, we know what your purpose is. Your purpose is to completely serve us.
Make us money.
And there were some people that were, like, so about it. They were like, I would talk to them. They would be like, yeah, you know, I used to think that I was meant to be an artist, but it's clear to me that, you know, I just need to surrender and serve orgasm by doing sales for one taste. And I would be like, whoa, you are high on that Kool-Aid, my friend. Anyways, I would wonder, though. I would be like, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. Maybe I'm. But no, that's not what I was supposed to do. I was not supposed to be a salesperson for one taste. Bless them. But I did learn things there that were incredible and that were unavailable anywhere else other than in that amazingly gorgeous fucked up cult. And, you know, no better training for sex magic than that place. What to do and what not to do.
Major gifts were received.
Major gifts were received. And so anyways, I just like, I could see, it was very clear to me how, yeah, just like following what was attractive and really lit me up and just trusting I'll learn something here. Something will be revealed to me, even if this isn't the end all be all of everything. Like, let's see what's happening here. Let's go with the flow. And then a lot, you know, tons and tons evolved out of that.
I think it could maybe even be generalized to like the more that you're serving your purpose, the less that you are in your head, just as a matter of fact. Like when you're in a high flow state, they've done studies, it's like you get this crazy cocktail of chemicals that only are produced all at once, like dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, adrenaline, other things. The only time that all of them are being like pumped into you simultaneously is in heightened flow states. And the characteristic of that is that you have no sense of self or time. Mm. You're just at one with whatever you're doing. And it's like the most pleasurable thing that we can experience. And we have no sense of self while it's happening. So it's like we get in our head. That's like how we know that we're going in the wrong direction, essentially.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I feel like time is just like whooshing by me. And you know, of course, the old saying, like, time flies when you're having fun. It's like, it's true. I'm having so much fun every day that it just goes whoosh, it just like whooshes by me. And I've also had the experience of like being at mystery school, which is like, you know, sleepover mystery school is very deeply connected to my life's purpose, I feel. And like, you know, totally sober, not, you know, getting sleep, eating food, doing all the same responsible things. But like, I can feel my brain is giving me the most amazing cocktail of dopamine and serotonin and Oxycontin. And I am Oxycontin.
You win.
No, oxytocin. Better, far better than Oxycontin. Yeah, it feels like Oxycontin. It just feels
it that takes the
good.
Pain away. It
endorphins are a natural opiate-like painkiller. So yeah, there is that.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's opiates. It's opiates and cannabinoids and all the fun stuff. And it's completely free and totally NA approved. 12-step approved.
Totally loud.
And, you know, it's just wild because I'll just be sitting there and like feeling like so high. And I'm like, wow, I'm high on life.
So I want to just point out something that's been getting clearer to me lately, and this whole as within, so without, it's like the way that our own bodies are more healthy when we're aligned with purpose. The same is true of culture and society and the world. It's like whenever the majority of people are not in alignment with their purpose, the world itself is not being healthy. Culture is not healthy. So aligning with your purpose doesn't just make you feel better. You're like doing the thing that you're supposed to do for the collective culture to help heal everything. And it's all interconnected within and without. And yeah, in that regard, I feel like it's just a really important thing that comes down to the existence of spirit and like a pre-existing truth before the materialism of our body and imminent experience. And that is like denied so hard by our culture and our society, which is why the experience of like, oh, you have an actual like true purpose, it just seems laughable to people. And that was not always the case. I think it used to be pretty common knowledge.
Yeah, well, what is that distinction? Like, I was just reading one of your Taoist books and I was talking about like, you know, but it's like destiny and fate and like the interplay of those. And yeah, it was connected to that straw dog thing you were talking about earlier.
So the fate, essentially everybody has the same fate, which is to die. And your jing, your life force, is like a pre-programmed progression of aging. Like it's like a record, you know, playing from baby to old age and death. It's like you can make it unfold slowly, but it is a song of death that inevitably the fate is for death to happen no matter what. But destiny is something greater that's connected with heaven. And Ming, which is this point between your kidneys, which is essentially where like your life force heat comes from, is the symbol for it. So they say it means life purpose, life path is how it gets translated. It's sort of the equivalent of Dharma. But the symbol for it is a roof, which is a symbol of heaven. And underneath it is the symbol for a mouth and the symbol of a written contract. So it's like the contract that you engaged in with heaven that is your life. And it's like, you came here because you literally made a contract. And that's the thing. It's like, if you break the contract too far, then heaven just like resets you basically to try again. And there's different aspects of like yin ming and yang ming, but essentially within the destiny aspect of it, yeah, it's that life purpose. But the thing that, if you align with it large enough, you become a force of creation of worlds that other people live inside of. And it's like you're the yang and they're responding to your destiny. Whereas if you're less aligned with it, you are in response to other people who are more in alignment with their destiny, and you're living inside of theirs. And, you know, there's obviously an eternal dance of yin and yang, so both are happening. But they say that, like, the pure yang side of it is like a hair's width line, that, like, with each breath that you take, your level of awareness and connection, you're either like getting closer to it or further away from it. And yeah, so those are the different ways that the destiny thing shows up for people. But it's literally the source of your physicality and your health in your body. And I just think that's super fascinating, that connection there. It seems obvious to me, having paid attention to it for a while, but there's so much in society, like people getting cancer and all this other shit. It's like,
yeah. Well, it's what it's making me think of too is, like, you were talking about, like, the yang ming and having a destiny that, like, creating a world that other people then inhabit, reminds me of, like, the definition of a magus in the Western tradition. Like, you utter a word, you become like the founder of a school, of a tradition. And then other people are inhabiting and participating in your thing. So it's like, in a way, it's like, yeah, realizing your potential as a creator.
Totally. And it's, you know, this relationship, like even any magus is standing upon the shoulders of all the maguses that came before. So it's sort of everybody just striving for the ongoing evolution of culture and awareness to try to create at that level. And it's like, we all have that potential inside of us as our Ming
purpose. Can I throw out a hot magus tip? Yeah. For anybody out there interested in realizing their magushood. I feel like an underestimated part of the process actually is, like, the move that existential kink makes, which, you know, I think Friedrich Nietzsche would have called it amor fati, the love of one's fate. Mm. The Stoics also were very into that, which is just, like, true, like, even if you haven't been living on fire with purpose, even if you've, like, been in a situation where, like, oh, this is going on, like, being, like, just finding it in you to, like, truly love and praise and cherish whatever situation you've created up to now, and realizing that it fulfills something and it can be a part of your journey and it could utterly change tomorrow, but, like, just really cherishing it and feeling appreciation for it and for yourself, part of you that created that, misguided or not, whatever, like... And there's just something about that move of surrender and, like, humbling oneself to whatever conditions one finds oneself in, that at least for me was very key to unlocking a future that was more in line with my conscious will, with that what I imagine that yang ming might be.
Yeah, it's like getting out of the spell of failure, because if you can only see yourself as failing and your life as sucking and things as having gone wrong, then, like, you are in a sort of, you know, entanglement with the vibration of failure, bad, wrong. And it's failure and success are not the same vibration. But if you can look at the circumstances and be like, I have learned from this. This has given me much resource to like understand the world better. I have learned so much about myself. I have gained knowledge that otherwise I would not have gained. And this is great success. This is wonderful. I will do so much with this. Then you sort of like start the flywheel of like, I am in the right place. This is okay. Everything is serving me. And like, that is the vibration that like snowballs into actual success.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of like, it, you know, it's all vibration and, sometimes we think that like we have to change the narrative to change the vibration, but I feel like EK is the ultimate sort of alchemical shortcut in realizing you can just change the vibration and the narrative will change from there, which is the deeper ultimate truth of how things work. And yeah, the Taoists talk about it very explicitly as like all of this, like your purpose is a frequency of vibration that connects you, like a line of vibration connecting you to heaven. And I was just seeing it as you're talking about that, Layla. It's like a song, like of sheet music, and your goal is to like play along with it in time and in harmony. And we don't want to like drift off of the song. And I feel like EK is this way of like not paying attention to the narrative of the mind and the world of so-called reality, but just tuning into the vibration itself and just getting off on what's there and putting that truth of get off before any of the logic that the ego thinks reigns supreme, and realizing that like that is just a prison that it's making to get off on shit at a weirder, kinkier level. And it's just like letting yourself get off on it, that existential kink just really opens the gates to. And yeah, I think that's just a profound thing, to just engage the vibrational reality, the somatic felt experience of turn on, get off.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, speaking of One Taste and Nicole Dadone, who Rory put in those quotes in the email, I was like, oh, we didn't contextualize this. Oh, that's okay. you know, she's a brilliant, brilliant woman in many ways. And I learned that from her, like that emphasis on like what is happening in the body, and like the way a really deep way that she would teach it back in the day would be, she would talk about, you know, our preferences for sexual partners, and like the mind has all of these sexual preferences, right? And like, especially women have like, I mean, everybody does, but like, I just, for example, women's conditioned sexual preferences, like, dude needs to be taller than me, dude needs to be richer than me, dude needs to, you know, have all of his ducks in a row and everything. And then, but like I would go out on dates with guys like that, and I would feel nothing, you know, it would be like flatlining, it would be zero. And then, you know, on a date with somebody who did not match my ego's preferences, who David matches all of my soul's preferences, but not my ego's preferences at the time. And, you know, just feeling electricity and like so much fun and so much feeling of home, and like, this is where my heart is and this is where my joy is. And it's not matching my mind's stories about like what my home and my joy should look like, but what the fuck ever, I'm gonna go with what is actually happening. This is our baby Solomon is laughing. He likes this story. But like, yeah, that's that essence. And I feel like this, you know, like Richard Rudd talks about in The Gene Keys, like it is a state of psychotic dissociation to be like believing the mind's stories and conditioned preferences above like the body's feelings of like, yes. Like, where is your body saying yes?
Yeah.
Thank you. More of this, please.
Well, what really stands out to me is like this idea that the truth, your purpose, your destiny, the frequency of it is like there, whether you like it or not. It sort of like is what it is. And in a way, we don't have a lot of choice about what it is. Like when Caroline, you were talking about the people who are like, one taste is my purpose. There's like a relieving surrender when you're like, oh, this is my purpose. But in that case, it's sort of a false one because it's just someone else telling you what your purpose is. It takes a little more work to find it for yourself. But it's also like always there, kind of just under the surface. And you can somatically tell how on it or off of it you are. And it, rather than it being surrender to what someone else tells you, I see it as surrender to like the divine will. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, that's the contract you sign with heaven. What the divine wants you to do. The divine will is like the truth that is pulling us forward. And when we can identify that and surrender to it, then we do get that relief. Mm-hmm. And I actually really remember having that experience over a year ago when I was really in love with Layla and I was living in California and also did not think she felt at all the same way about me and was just losing my mind, unable to stop thinking about her. And at the point, I think I was also like, I wish I could just forget about this whole thing and move on. And I was sending voice messages to my coach and he got back to me and he was like, you know, you talk about Layla quite a lot. You might
do the accent. He's Australian and I like when we read the accent.
He was like, you know, brother, you talk about her quite a lot and you might want to admit that you just deeply love her and that's okay. And I have like a somatic memory of listening to that in my minivan driving on the freeway in Oakland and just like, oh. I had that thought many times. I was like, am I in love with her? No, I can't be in love with her. That's so weird. Inconvenient. That's so weird. She doesn't feel that way. I'm a fool. No. And then when he reflected that to me, it was such a relief. And it also didn't mean I had to like then go and do anything about it in that moment. But it was just like a huge relief to just be like, yep, that is what is true. Whether I like it or not.
And we were going to intro. Do we have enough time?
I think we do. I think we can make time. Okay. Rory loves to tell this story because, well, I don't know why, actually. He just loves to tell this story.
Because it's a story of triumph, Layla.
It is a story of triumph. Okay, now I see. Well, do you want to introduce the segment that we want to share with these fine people?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, right around a year ago, there was a period of time where Layla and I were not talking. And I was processing... I was in my process of what I was going through, and I was recording voice memos on my phone just to get them out with no intention of ever sending them to Layla, but talking into my phone as though I were speaking to her. So I ended up with, over about 3 months, unsent to Layla 1 through 10 in my phone. And when we did end up getting together, admitting how much we really loved each other and how deeply connected we are, I eventually sent her all of these voice messages. And what was that experience like for you, Layla?
What a treat. I mean, what a treat. I don't even know how to describe it. I think my favorite part was just being like, oh my God, this man like loved me and was devoted to me and was essentially like faithful to his feelings for me, even though I was refusing to speak to him or acknowledge him in any way. Like, and that is just like, that's what you want in a devoted partner. Like, well, I mean, I would never do that to you now, obviously, but like, I just was like very much touched by the like non-transactionalness of your like love and care for me. It was not because you were getting something so awesome from me. It was because you just like loved me. And that was just your honest truth. And it didn't really depend on me like being a certain way or like behaving a certain way or like giving you something, because I was not even really talking to you. And I just like seeing it, I was just like, oh my God, this is like a person of like serious integrity, like even in the face of like seemingly not getting what he wanted. He was like, yeah, but I like still want that. Like, I'm still just willing to be like, that is what I want, even though it doesn't seem like it's happening.
Yeah. And willing, I'll just also insert that I was not stalking you or bothering you with it. I was just holding that in myself and recording these embarrassing voice messages into my phone.
Right.
Astro stalking.
Yeah.
Just like being, well, I feel like we should play the recording because, you know, you kind of like say what you're up to in the recording.
Let's play the recording.
Okay.
All right, dude. Another message I'm not ever going to send to you, but yeah, you know, I've just spent a lot of this time today, it's Thanksgiving 2022, thinking about what it would be like to have you here with me, with my family, or what it would be like to be with your family. And you know, honestly, I don't give a fuck what you think is going on here. Like, I love you. And I want to be with you. And I'm not backing off of that. And you can come at it from whatever Gemini, air sign, intellectual piece you want. But the truth is that, like, I think you're great. And I want to spend more time with you. And I also think you've got your shit that gets in the way. I think you're afraid. And in this moment, I honestly don't care. Like, I think, like, I feel like what I felt with you is real. Yeah, there's fucking fantasy there. But the truth is, like, I am goddamn committed and dedicated to building this life for myself. And when it develops to the point that I want it to develop, like, I want to be able to go anywhere in the world I want to go. And I want to spend time with you. And yeah, maybe we'd actually be a terrible match. But I don't know. I think that this is happening for a reason. I think that we are in each other's lives for a reason. And I think it scares you. And that's okay. But I'm going to keep showing up. And do what you need to do. Figure your shit out. And this isn't really even relevant until I'm in a place, we're both in a place where, like, wow, these goats are super cute. We're both in a place where something can happen. Like, I'm not gonna, this can't happen while you're my facilitator. This can't happen while you're in a monogamous relationship, but I love you and I want you, and I'm not coming down off of that. I mean, who the fuck knows? Like, maybe in 10 months, I'll be like, whatever. Layla's okay. I've found something better. But right now, like, in spite of all your stuff, I want you. And maybe even because of that, like, I fucking want you. And you're not a trophy to me. I like you. I like who you have shown yourself to be to me when you've been honest and vulnerable. And I want more of that. And I want to fucking love you. Like, holy fuck. I want to hold you. I want to hold your hand. I want to cuddle with you. I want to laugh with you. I want to know you. And God, that shit is just not going away. I'm not down to play small with you. I'm not down to blame you.
but I'm just going to stay right in this goddamn frequency of like, I want you. And I'm not backing off. And I don't know what the fuck life is going to look like or be created because of this. It seems crazy, right? Seems fucking crazy. But it's just my truth. It's like, I want you. I want you, Layla Bernard.
Hey, the heavy breathing really makes it. Wasn't that great to listen to? Oh my God. So unvarnished. Inspiring.
A master class in magic.
Say more. Before David gets into that, I just want to say, first of all, I was watching Rocky Horror Picture Show last night with Electric Yes, and there's a line in there about Frankenfurter. Janet sings it about Frankenfurter, and the line is, "His lust is so sincere." And yes. I was like really feeling the sincerity of Rory's lust and love. And I think there's a lot of ladies out there who are going to be, you know, they're going to listen to this recording and it's going to be like hashtag relationship goals. They're going to be like, I'm going to have a dude that feels this way about me. So ladies, you can feel
highly recommend
the recording. You can just listen to it and be like, this is the vibe. This is the vibe some dude out there is going to have for me.
The bar has been set.
Yes, indeed. That's so true. The sincerity of it. Well, because that was like part of my beef with you. We don't want to get in the whole thing, but like that was part of my beef with you was that I was like, whatever, Rory. Like, you think I'm cool. You like see me in Electric Yes or whatever. And of course, I'm awesome. So yeah, obviously you're obsessed with me, and I really was just like not able to appreciate that you were like sincere. I was just like, what does this fuckboy want from me?
Well, you were a couple of times you were kind of like, okay, Rory, well, like, what does this mean? What is it gonna happen? You like me, like, so what? Like, what do I get if I sign on the dotted line for this contract? And I was legitimately like, I don't know. I just really like you and care about you and want to have some kind of relationship with you. And I don't even know what that looks like, but that's just what is true for me. And I really couldn't, try as I might at different points, could not get away from that. It was just undeniable. And now we're married and we live together.
We're very happy.
Well, I remember too when Layla would like talk about it at the gym. She'd be like, yeah, whatever, this guy, Rory, lives in California. He like likes me, whatever, I don't care. And I'd be like, yeah, I mean, he lives in California, so it's like completely pointless. But like, because that was like my bitterness talking from like times when like I was like, I don't know what, like, feeling like I was confined to the Pittsburgh dating pool in a way that I didn't want to be before I became aware of David's presence and availability. But a bitterness about the Pittsburgh dating pool. Pittsburgh Tinder is like a series of guys wearing Penguins jerseys and holding up fishes that they have caught. There's like
hundreds. Maybe it's your type, you know? Like, no shade, but like.
But anyways, Layla reeled a cool boyfriend in from California. Impressive.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about it in like the context of like purpose and like being honest and like being true to your truth. And like, I think it's important to like remind anyone who's listening to this that like, you know, in that message where he's like, I'm going to stick with this and like, I'm not giving up and like, this is just where I'm at. Like, he also was not like demanding from me that I pay attention to him.
Yeah, that's,
like,
it was free of demand.
It was free of demand.
Pure assertion. Pure expression of desire. No weird, like, emotional manipulation threat. Like, you bitch, I'm going to hate you forever if you don't call me back. I don't know.
Exactly. There was none of that at all. And like, there was even a point where like, you know, I thought it would be better if we didn't speak to each other, but like, I wasn't going to be like, I'm not talking to you, Rory, because I secretly wanted to keep talking to Rory. So I was like, I don't know, Rory, what should you do? And he was like, what should we do? And he was like, well, I guess we just like shouldn't talk. And then I was like, okay, I guess that you're right. Like, I know that that's the right answer, but I hate that you said that, because now we have to do that, because like, you're good at keeping your word. And like, he did not talk to me. And so when this was recorded, he's just like with himself and his feelings, and in no way making those, I mean, he's making them about me, obviously, but like not asking me to do something about it myself.
It's not a responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to hear David's thoughts about how it's a masterclass in magic.
Well, there's many points, but he's holding space for his higher truth. And even though it is inconvenient and doesn't make sense to his ego, and he's not sure how it's going to work out, he's telling the truth. And it's also very non-attached. He's like, I don't know, maybe in 10 months I'll be like, Layla's all right. And it's just like, I don't even know what the fuck this is. And this is what it is. And telling that truth. And also, like we were talking about the word of the Magus and creating what he was just like, speaking it into being, you know, like the interconnectedness of everything. Like, it didn't matter that him and Layla weren't talking. It's like the limbic interconnection of everything. Like, he spoke this truth into the ether and was even declaring in it, like, this is it, I'm gonna hold it, and I don't know what it's gonna look like, but it's gonna do fucking something. And it did. Here it is. It's like total manifestation.
Yeah, you guys are getting ready to have Thanksgiving together.
That's in honor. Well, when I sent Layla this message, she was like, Rory, this was like a serious magic spell, which you can share as much of that as you want.
Well, yeah, when I listened to that, I was like, oh, wow, that's so interesting, because the like extremely bogus relationship that I was in at the time that he was referencing really, really began to unravel in an embarrassing way on Thanksgiving. So it was like Rory was recording this message in California being like, you know, I love you and I wish we were spending time together and that would be so great. Meanwhile, I'm trying to spend Thanksgiving with my then boyfriend, having just an awful time being like, why am I spending Thanksgiving with this person? This is not it. So that was cool. And then yeah, this year we're gonna go and spend Thanksgiving with your mom.
Yeah.
That's and right. Your family.
That's right.
So all your wishes are coming true.
I can show you the cute goats.
Oh, yeah.
That I referenced right in the middle of my proclamation.
Oh my God, these goats are so cute.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the experience that I had in that whole process that culminated in me moving to Pittsburgh and getting married to Layla, I now feel very solid in just the trust of being on that frequency and continuing to come back to it. And it kind of the, like, I think even before we ended up getting together, my life had vastly improved by virtue of me just continuing to excavate what was true for me and trust that. And I do have now a much deeper trust in the rightness of just staying on a path. We're in the optimal timeline. And even if things are challenging or feel like they're getting hard, there's just a part of me that deeply knows, like, you know, you win or you learn. Either this will succeed or I will learn something valuable and that is a success out of it. Whether it's, you know, any aspect of life.
Yeah, I'm excited for your guys' program because I think both of you are extremely awesome magicians of willpower and making shit happen. And I'm excited for anyone who is wise enough to learn from you how to, like, yeah, just do the basic magics of being like, this is what I fucking want, and speaking it into existence, being unattached to the outcome, but like certain of like what it is that you're going for.
Yeah, this is really deep. I was also, this must just be a hot topic in the magic sphere lately, because I was doing a workshop with Allie Tate, who is a former model, and now she's a coach, and she specializes in helping people clear their throat chakra. And I did a workshop with her on Sunday about that. And about basically, it was the workshop was called Only God Can Cancel Me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she's really on fire with this work.
Shout out to Tupac.
She's really on fire, this work of, you know, helping people. So many people, are, many women especially, are very afraid of being canceled. They're very afraid to say anything edgy online for fear that the mob with pitchforks is going to come for them, which it will. It definitely will. And anyways, she was just talking about, and I was just like feeling it so hard and agreeing with her, and it's like the same thing we're talking about, which is that the more we can speak our truth without attachment, without trying to control how other people are going to respond to it, it might be a terrible response, might be a wonderful response, the more we can speak it without that, the more we are drawing in the frequency of the highest, most beautiful timeline unfolding for us. And when I was thinking, you know, timeline, time magic, I associate very much with Ma'at, the goddess of truth. And it just makes sense. She's the god, like, truth. Something spoken truly aligns with Ma'at, who is the alignment from the future, the energies of the future coming into this moment, drawing us towards the optimal human evolution, the timeline where, instead of just, you know, blowing itself up into a nuclear hellhole like planet Earth, you know, humanity realizes itself in a new dimension and achieves a level of unity and empathy and telepathy that is previously unattained.
Well, and I feel this a lot, and, you know, I think, like, your truth is also aligned with, like, what you love. And, you know, since Rory so humbly brought our, you know, story onto this for this topic, like, I feel this a lot. Like, I can listen to that recording and be like, the reason that this poor man could not stop thinking about me for months is because he's my husband. So, like, he didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that at the time. But, like, in the singularity of the moment, like, of course he was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why won't my wife talk to me? Like, this is so wrong. Like, we're so happy together. This is like the love of my life. And like, he didn't know that part to be true, but he was just like, like, not able to like let it go. And like, my experience of, you know, living with Rory and being in relationship with Rory is that I'm like, I feel like I remembered you when I was very young, and like my girlish fantasies of my like dream lover are like very much how my husband actually is for me. And there is like a weird timeline experience of like, I know that. And I think that like experiences like that give me so much faith that like the things that we can't stop thinking about, and the things that, like, even if they seem bizarre or, like, improbable, are things that happen in the future. And if we listen to that feeling, like, we will get to the point, like you were saying earlier in this episode, like, you will see in retrospect that the things that happened in the past had to happen in order to get you to that future point. It doesn't quite make sense in the unfolding of it, but in retrospect, you're like, oh yes, of course it had to be that way. Of course it was that way, because this is where I am now. And yeah, it all just comes together.
That reminds me of another fun story is when David and I
just went, it's 12:30. Layla said she had to go at 12:30.
I do. We could wrap up in the next 10 minutes.
Okay. I think this is taking less than 10 minutes. When David and I were having a really rough time, a couple years ago, we were separated, and I had taken off my wedding ring, and as soon as I took my wedding ring off, it was the weirdest thing. My ring finger had a burning sensation, like it was being burnt. And throughout the month that we were separated, my ring finger had this feeling of like, it was just being on fire.
Did you have blisters?
Yeah, I had blisters. I couldn't explain it. I was you know, the wedding band is just gold. It's like nothing reactive at all. So I had no idea what could have been happening. And I was just like, well, is that demon David making my making my finger hurt from a distance? And you know, we decided to get back together and work through our stuff. And the day we decided to get back together, we were sitting in the car together, and David decided to do a little ritual to free our rings of any residual yuckiness and to like rebirth and renew them. And I had no idea what he was going to do, but I handed him my ring and he put Florida water all over it. You tell it.
I put Florida water on it, and I believe this was all improvised. Foolishly just lit it on fire, cupped in my hand with Florida water. Because I remember, like, as a kid, you know, we'd, like, spray hairspray on ourselves and light it on fire. And it's like, as the accelerant is burning, it doesn't burn the skin that's underneath it because heat's rising, and it just burns the fuel. Apparently, Florida water's different. And it also was invisible. Like, it caught on fire, but the flame was not visible at all.
Whoa.
So it was just hot as fuck. We were in the parking lot of this dance studio that we were taking dance lessons at. And, yeah, it got super hot. And I was like, ah, fuck. And just dropped it onto the asphalt. And I think it was still on fire. I couldn't even see the flames. But I went to grab the ring and put it on, and it was super fucking hot and burnt my finger and gave me blisters. And I gave Carolyn hers. It was like cooled down because I had just learned. But she was like, oh, that's so crazy. That had happened to me when I took my ring off. So it was like this perfect time loop. Also, our rings are Mobius strips. So it's kind of...
It was extra.
Extra.
Yeah, so I just thought that was crazy that, like, my finger was feeling the flames of his finger burning from our reunion.
From your reunion.
Which had not happened.
Which had not happened, yeah.
Well, before we go, I do want to just talk a little bit about the program that Layla mentioned. It's called True North. David and I are offering it starting in January of 2024, and applications are now open, and it's really, you know, bringing in all the concepts we talked about today into a 4-month teaching and coaching container. And I'm really excited about it because, I don't know, outside of mystery school, David really doesn't do a whole lot of teaching or coaching. I think I've seen you do a couple of coaching calls on Electric, yes, but I can't think of a lot of other places where you're bringing all of your awesome magic and wisdom and, like, breadth of knowledge to a container. I've been thinking about this part of it a lot. I think that this style of programming, what we're offering, is really important for men. The path of the masculine liberation is ego to truth. And I think it's also really important for women, because handling that, like, inner masculine that wants you to get things done and take responsibility and be disciplined, often that can be very tyrant-y. And David and I are both loving husbands and fathers and really have had a lot of practice honing that masculine, you know, orientation towards structure and organization and responsibility into something that's more supportive and loving. Anything you want to say about it, David?
Well, just touching upon that, I know that this audience, I believe, is primarily women. So if you can think of any men that you feel would benefit from being exposed to these types of teachings and mentorship in a really purposeful container that we've designed, then please do the gift of sending them our way. It's a gift to them and a gift to us, and we'd be really grateful, and I'm certain that they will be too.
Yeah.
And also, if you would just like to, if you are a lady person and you'd like your animus to stop being such a fucking dick to you, also that would be great for you as well.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly. We want all of you, and just helping to extend the reach out to some men that might not otherwise hear this. You could share this with
exactly.
Them. Yeah, both are super important. Yeah, and you can find the application if you go to my Instagram, Rory C. Matthews, 2 T's, or you can just go to TrueNorthProgram.com.
So easy.
And it'll be right there for you.
TrueNorthProgram.com.
All this and more can be yours.
All this and more.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks you guys for hanging out with us. I know you guys hang out with us all the time every day because you're married to us, but thanks for sharing. Yeah. Thanks for sharing yourself with our audience.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, that's great. So fun. All right.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Bye, everybody.